Verse 8 this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. I said 2 Corinthians, right? Are you sure? Well, I wrote 2 Corinthians. Either you or my notes are wrong. No, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. I'm nervous. My in-laws are here. Give me a break. I'll be honest. It's when we had the Hugans, Gene and your brother and sister Hugan come by. And that was when I was the most nervous. I was wearing a polo shirt. For 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I promise it is 2 Timothy this time. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. We all choose a side in one way or the other, right? No matter what it is we hear, no matter what the debate is, we all choose a side. Right now there's a debate between how man should live, what our priorities should be. And we need to side on the cause of Christ. We are set out, set apart, made to be closer to Christ than we could have been before the Lord saved us. We need to be able to take that stand. As we prepare to celebrate Memorial Day, we celebrate our soldiers and our veterans. We, all those that put in the effort to war, to keep our nation what it is. We celebrate them and we honor them. However, what is to be said about the cause of Christ? These men and women, they went out and they died for their country. Our Lord Jesus Christ died for us, calling us to be soldiers in him. What kind of a soldier are we? Edwin Stanton was a man who absolutely hated his president. Writing letter after letter, he lambasted and roasted Abraham Lincoln every chance he got, calling him an imbecile, long-armed creature, the original gorilla, and all sorts of things. A lot of the bad press and nicknames that Abraham Lincoln had at the beginning of his presidency, he got from a man named Edward Stanton. Stanton fought him in everything. When the Civil War broke out, Stanton was the first one to say, "The rebels will take Washington within 30 days." Good, everything he did against President Abraham Lincoln. When Abraham Lincoln stopped to consider this, he had the idea of what exactly how to respond. He made Edward Stanton the Secretary of War, put him in the cabinet. And the reason why, of course, being because he fought so hard against me, I want him on my side. Right? And as a matter of fact, he did do a good job. He was in the war. He was just so very valuable and instrumental in the rebuilding process. And they became close friends to the point to where at his funeral, Stanton said, "There lies the most perfect ruler of men the world has ever seen." See, Stanton, he had a value system, right? And he didn't care who was in the value system. What he valued to him, willing to go to war for what's important. They're willing to cut ties with friends and family because of what's important to them. They're willing to throw rocks at people because of what's important to them. What's important to you? And are you living up to that question this morning? What is important to you? Are you a soldier for Christ? Now listen, when we say soldier, we of course mean that we're not out there going to war. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. Right? As the scripture says, what are they? They are the things of God. We present the gospel. We defend the truth. We preach the word. We don't err on it. We don't change it. We don't mess with it. Those are the weapons. We use love, care, compassion. We use the fruit of the Spirit in our warfare. But are you a soldier? You were saved to be one. Let's go to 2 Timothy 4 again. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. When you were saved, you were called to do something. As a member of a church, you are called into the Great Commission. And that is to be out there, to be of service and of aid and of help to people, to give the gospel to people. And when the people are saved, bring them in, baptize them, and then bring them in, teach them, nurture them, care for them. We all work together. We are called to this cause. But what kind of a soldier are you? We have far too many people in churches nowadays. They believe that their job is to sit and to fill the pew. Now, don't get me wrong. I appreciate you being here this morning, but that is not the extent of your... Those of you that served in our military... As you could... trained, you're taught. Why? There's either a war out there or there might be a war coming. There's either a battle going on or a battle on its way. You were saved to be a part of the effort of making a difference in this world. Right? 2 Timothy, verse 2 of 2 Timothy. If you want, you might want to put a bookmark in one of the two, because we're going to be bouncing back and forth, jump roping a little bit. But verse 2 of 2 Timothy, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." In our church, we've got people, you've been here for longer than I've been alive. You've sat under a lot of preachers, which means we have no excuse to not be toeing the line. You know what a Christian ought to do. You know what a Christian ought to be. You know the compassion and love that God showed you. You know that He commands you to show that to other people. You understand the Great Commission. You know what giving the gospel is. We ought to do it. As Paul says to Timothy, those things that I've taught you, commit those to other people. From salvation to doctrine, you need to give that over. From the teachings on what we ought to be doing towards each other, the love and respect and care we ought to be showing each other, go commit those things to other people. It doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter how young you are, you can do the work God has commanded you to do. It doesn't matter if we want to try to put value to it. You need to obey God. That's where the value is. That's where it matters. What is it? What are my orders? 2 Corinthians, going back to our text there. Verse 11, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." What he's saying, hey, the things that I've told you, right? We go are the things because we know who God is and we know what's coming. If we are not saved, we go out and we do this job. And I pray that it has an effect on them and it has an effect on you. These things that we do, I want them to leave a mark. says, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. I want you to see it. I want it to impress you. Not for the sake of it impressing, but so that a change is made. You ever be working next to somebody, and you'll see that they'll do something just a little bit different, but the way they do it is faster than you, and it works a little bit better? What do you do? Go, oh, show me that. All right, there you go. How often? How often do you do that on a practical basis in life? Hey, let me show you a trick, make that go a whole lot faster. Okay. And it leaves a mark on you, and you always remember, and depending on how easier it's made your life, you remember the person that taught you how to do that. Am I right? That's what Paul's saying. Hey, listen, I want this to leave a mark on you. I want this to be manifest in you so that you think about it, that you're aware of it. Many of us, we refer back to that passage of Scripture that says, train them up in the way that they should go, and when they're older, they'll not depart from it. We read that and we share that, but you know what? We don't want to confuse that with, if I train my kids right, they'll stay in the church, because that's not what it means. What it means is this, is that they'll live the rest of their lives unable to depart it out of their consciences. It'll always be there. Well, I don't know. They don't act like it. Yeah. But you know what? We're all familiar with that. We know better, but we don't do better. Just on a larger scale. We have all the training we need to serve the Lord. And there's great expectation of us from God to fulfill that. All right, going back to 2 Corinthians, this time verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. There is great, great expectation from God. We will stand before him. Verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We will stand before him and we will answer to him. They say, well, you know, it won't be my sins I answer for. You know what? Aren't you glad those sins are paid for? It's going to be a cakewalk. Because you got to think about it. Yeah, your sins are gone. He paid the ultimate price. He died on that cross. He bled out. He did all the things he had to do. Took the whipping and the slapping and the abuse. Took it all. And daily after saving you, poured out blessing after blessing. And then you stand before him and you give him everything that you've done for him. And that's what's judged on that day, whether it be good or whether it be bad. That fire comes down. You know what? I'm glad I don't have to answer for my sin, but you know what? I'm still a little nervous. Oh, no, but brother, don't you understand? Oh, every tear will be wiped out of every eye. There will be joy. Oh, no, I understand it. I get it. I love that. I'm looking forward to it. But I don't want to be the guy who hands over nothing for everything he's been given. I don't want to be the one that sat there and said, yeah, but you know what? I was busy. Oh, but you don't understand, Lord. No, the Lord understands. Why? Because who he calls, he also what? Equips. He gave you every opportunity to serve him, gave you every opportunity to do what was right by him, right? Gives us the strength, the knowledge, the teaching, the training, the encouragement. We have everything we need in our walk for Christ. I mean, my goodness, we've got the Word of God written in pages all throughout our country. Very hard to go without it. If you've even got so much as a cell phone, I could put it on there for you. We are surrounded by the Word of God, with the instructions of God. There is no excuse for us to show up empty-handed. We need to be able to show up, say, here, Lord, this is what I've done out of my love for you. This is what I've done out of my gratitude for you. This is what I've done out of my duty for you. I know I'll never pay it back, but I will live my life helping, giving the gospel, serving in my church, doing everything I can for you. And hey, I'll tell you this. We do owe it to each other to stand strong, to be good soldiers. We do. Because you know what? Every now and then I've been hurting. And it's good to have people come by, give a little word of encouragement. Every now and then you've struggled. Every now and then you've had a need. And there people are. Here, let me help you. Let me pray for you. Hey, let's pray with me. Hey, let's do this. Let's do that. Let me come on by with this. Let me send you a card, a little note to tell you how much I appreciate you. We have those things. And it's good to participate in that. We need good soldiers. Why? Because it's hard to be a good soldier on your own. It's always good to have someone to fight with. Not against, but someone to fight with. Someone to, hey, you know, I've got this sin. I've got this sin. Well, let's pray together. All right, let's check in with each other. Hey, let's make sure. Hey, you know what, brother? I'm having a real hard time with anger these last few weeks. No way, brother. Me too. All right, I tell you what, let's get some verses out. If it gets real bad, what we got to do? We can work together. We can be encouraged. And every now and then, you need that person that can stand above all others, just doing it right, to be that example for all of us to sit there and say, I want to do that. That's what I want to be. That's what I want to do. I was talking to neighbors this last week, and they were telling me about one of their neighbors, their next door neighbor. She was, I think she was in her mid-90s, and her family finally came and took her out of the house because she'd be in her mid-90s out mowing the lawn and like edging and stuff like that and just out there doing stuff, but she kept falling over getting hurt. And I'm sitting there, and I'm a bigger guy, and the guy who's telling me the story is a bigger guy. We're both bigger guys. I'm sitting there going, man, if I don't make some changes, I'm never going to make it to that point. Right? For those of you, you've lived long lives. You're very active right now. I go, if I don't make some changes, I might not make it to where I can do that. Right? 95 looks different on your, you know what I'm saying? Like, sister, not to put you on the spot, but Sister Mary, sometimes I sit there and I go, man, I hope I'm as strong as Sister Mary is when I'm that age. I do. Faithful. Sit there and I've got a busted toe or I'm just, feeling gloomy that day, then I'm still going to get up and I'm going to serve the Lord. We need people to stand apart serving the Lord with zeal because you know what? Sometimes we'll lose our zeal. Sometimes we'll need encouragement. Sometimes life gets a little bit too tough. Sometimes we get tired in our walk and it's good to have someone to sit there and encourage us along. There's great expectations, great necessity for us to serve the Lord in the best way we can. And if we are a soldier, the question becomes, are we acting like a soldier? 2 Timothy, going over to our passage in 2 Timothy, we're going to look at verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. Now that word, that phrase, endure hardness, all right, probably said a lot in Timothy's day than it does today. Today, Christians have a hard time enduring the hardness of not being able to sin. What do you mean I can't do this? Oh, what a bummer. I don't want to go there. I don't want to participate in that church if I'm not allowed to do that. If that's not something that's encouraged there, I don't want to. Well, is it scriptural? Well, yeah, I do see it in the Bible, but there it is. It's not about that church. It's not about you. What does God have to say? We don't want to endure that hardness. Well, I tell you what, if I go to church, if I take a stand for the scriptures, if I stand by where God tells me to stand, I'm not going to be very popular. That is nowhere near the hardness that they had to endure. But Paul was still sitting. I mean, Paul was the one saying this. You understand that, right? You know who was the hardness for Christians prior to Saul's salvation? Saul was. The man writing the letter was the cause. Brought up the tribulation on these people. He knew what the hardness was. And then when he was saved and he joined the other side, he experienced the hardness. People coming in, knocking on doors, dragging you out. We don't have a lot of that here in America, which is nice, isn't it? Isn't it nice to know you can go to sleep and it doesn't matter what color you are, what age you are, what religious affiliation you are, there's no one dragging you out of your bed. Nice. It's a good thing to have in our country. For all those people that put our country down, we still have that. Can't ban us for getting together. They try, right? They try, but we fight against it. It's nice. Timothy didn't know that life. Paul didn't know that life. He was either causing it or being a part of it. right? Endure the hardness. Whether it's from your own flesh, whether it's from the world around you, it does not matter. Endure the hardness. Well, you know, I grew up listening to this stuff, but it's not very popular nowadays. So tough. Fads, ideas, philosophies, they come and they go. And guess what? After a while, they come back again. Right? But you don't understand. If I say this and I stand by this, I mean, it used to be, if you sat there and you argued that from a scriptural perspective, in a school paper or something like that, depending on the teacher, you'd get marked down or the project would get thrown away or something like that. Nowadays, we're struggling on bigger issues than that. I mean, things that should be more basic and things that should be more easy. I get that it's not very popular to stand by the faith, but you endure the hardness. You endure it. It is nowhere near as bad as it could be. You got to keep it into perspective, and you must endure. Yeah, but you know what? I often find myself tempted into this, and I feel like I'm really struggling against it. And every time I put it down, it comes back. Endure this. Endure it. Do it. You're tougher than that, right? We'll sit there. We'll talk to the kids. Why'd you do that? I don't know. What were you trying to do? I don't know. Well, do you know anybody else who was there? Because you'd be the only one who'd know, right? Why'd you go there? Well, I don't know. I was just there. You weren't just there. You didn't sneeze and wake up there. You didn't fall asleep and wake up there, right? You got in your car. You drove there. You did. Right? How did the relationship happen, right? How did you end up cheating on your spouse? Well, it just happened. It did not. It didn't just happen. Right? It started off small, you grew it, you built into it, and all of a sudden a thing happened. You participated in every step of the way, you functioned in every part of the way, you did it. And as a matter of fact, it can be just as easy as not doing it. Don't go there. Don't be there. Don't do that. Don't perform that. Don't whip out your wallet for that. Don't go over there. Don't turn that on. Very simple. Well, you know, I have a hard time controlling myself. Anybody else can control your hands? I control mine. Who controls yours? Anybody in control of your brain? I control mine. Who controls yours? We do. Well, so-and-so made me do it. No, they did not. We make those choices. We do those things. We have to endure the hardness of sitting there telling ourselves no. I saw that happen in the last week. A mom and a kid was at the store. You've seen this, right? Can I have this? I want this. Can I have this? I want this. No. Supposed to. So tell yourself no. Oh, I don't know if I could do that. You don't know what I'd be so sad. Oh, will you be so sad? Well, I need this because otherwise I get grumpy. Oh, will you be grumpy? Come on, well, let's go out to the car for a little bit. Don't make me take you to the bathroom. Let's go. Can't say no. I'll get depressed. What on earth do you have? What sin on earth? With depression. What is it? If I can't have it, would really, that's not right. That's dependency. Well, I'll be frustrated if I don't. Okay. Poor little guy, go be frustrated. I've never been grumpy before. Deal with it. Endure the hardness. Why? Because what you get enjoyment out of for a second could have lifelong consequences. Could have eternal consequences. You know how many people sat there and said, "Well, I didn't mean to do that. You know, I didn't mean to kill those kids in my car." But did you mean to get drunk? Yeah. Did you mean to run out of beer? Well, no. Did you mean to go to the store to get some more? Well, yeah. So you didn't mean to drink and drive. You didn't mean to kill those kids, but you meant to do everything else that caused it. You know, and for a second, you hear that defense, well, I've never done it before, and I can promise I'll never do it again. It doesn't bring those kids back. Sin does what it does. Sin does what it does. And you can't take it back. We ought to be enduring hardness. If you go to our passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians verse 9, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. We labor. Are you working like a soldier? I had a friend who was in the Marines. And when he came out of the Marines, man, he was lean. He was fit. He ran for miles, tried to get me to go run miles with him. He'd come by down in Cincinnati where I was in college. He'd come see me. Man, he stayed the night with us. He was a fit guy. Would not eat garbage. Wouldn't do any of those things. And then when he was finally released out of the Marines, he started eating out again. And the guy who was pushing and pushing, pushing me to lose weight finally caught up with me. Why? Because he stopped doing all the work. He stopped eating the way that he was eating. He stopped running the way he was running, stopped working the way he was working. He got out of shape. You know how many out of shape Christians, and I don't mean physically, that we have? I say that editorially, not necessarily leaning towards our church, but how many Christians don't act like Christians? Right? A soldier and his gun, they're one and the same, am I right? What about you and your Bible? Soldier with their weapon. They move around, they sleep with their weapon near them. They're very close to it. They know exactly where it is. They can take it apart, they can put it together, they know everything about it. If there's a glitch, if there's a catch in a screw somewhere, they know exactly where it is. They know everything about it. Why? Because they meticulously train and repair and go through the motions. They do everything with it. How close are you and the Bible? And I like the Bible a lot more than kind of a weapon. Right? The day I could help somebody with the Bible. With the Bible. What about prayer life? Are you talking to your commander often? Are you often going to God and having that line of communication open? Are you speaking to Him the way that you should? When it comes down to things that need to be done in the church, and I'm not just talking about making casserole, sweeping floors, and things and installing things here and there. When it comes down to the real work of the church, are you doing it? I have always been impressed by the people that can hang lights and can rebuild floors and can construct things out of nothing and scrap wood. Like, I've always been impressed by that, right? I've known a lot of people that are incredibly handy. Was that red, green? If the women can't find any handsome, they should at least find any handy. Hey. Supposed to be out in this world. Am I living that consecrated life to where when people see me, they no longer see me, they see God? And again, not me as a version of Him, but just Him. They no longer see me or my flaws or my aspects. It's no longer braggadocious. It's no longer self-satisfying, but it's a life that points to Him. Do they see that in us? We need to be doing the work. We need to be doing the work. Going back over to 2 Timothy, this time in verse 4, we see no man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Listen, as a child of God, I am not going to ever be a political figure. Right? Now, that doesn't mean that Christians can't go and do it, but I'm the pastor of a church. I'm not going to go off and be a political leader. Why? Because this is where the Lord put me. This is where I belong. Well, we need a pastor to be the president. No, you need a pastor to fill in the roles of the church. That's what we need. Now, I'm not saying that I particularly like humanistic theology, humanistic philosophy going on in our government. I'm not saying that I'd much rather a non-Christian be in charge of the government. What I am saying is this, is that's not how we're going to change the world. We fight on the things that matter. Now, I think it was Friday we were talking about that. You know, there's very little we're going to be able to do to change the world, but I can be a booger every inch of the way for them. I can be a burr in their saddle. Well, brother, if you don't think that the Christians should bother too much with politics, why do you vote? Because I'm at least going to do it. Why do you say the stuff that you say? Well, I'm not going to let them make it easy for them. Why would I do that? Right? Do I firmly believe that a lot of these people that show up to the presidency are handpicked or bought their way in? Yeah, absolutely. So why do you vote? It's fun. You at least got to step over me. That's my point. I mean, I'm going to stand for the Lord. And though I think I'm not going to be able to stop you, my stand is for the Lord. So my stand takes place right here, preaching the gospel, preaching the truth of God, preaching His thoughts on life and His philosophies and how we should be living. And that is how we change things. Well, sometimes I just want to go over there and just what? It better be something God-honoring. It better be something that brings glory to the Lord. It ought to be something that you can sit there and not be ashamed of. Listen, we take our stand for the Lord. We don't fight over the things of this world. We fight over the things of Scripture, and we'll find those fights anyway. Right, the big topic discussions that hit politics all the time. If I'm standing and I'm running by the things of God, I don't have to fight against them. I've been fighting against them. Does that make sense? Right, I've always had this stand. I've always been there. Because you get these people that get riled up. Oh, did you see what they're talking about on the news? That's always been there. I've always been preaching against it. Well, did you see what's going on in the schools? Yeah. But I'm not riled about it now. I've been riled about it. I fight on the things of Scripture. I stand by the things of Scripture. Right? I can't get bothered over what the world is doing. It is mine to shine the light. The lighthouse cannot stop the storm. I cannot go out there and change government to create a Baptist nation. Not go and win politics and create a Baptist Michigan. But I can go out, knock on doors, and make Baptists. I cannot make this a saved nation. I cannot make this a Christian nation. But what I can do, what I should do, what I must do, is go out and give the gospel to make Christians. And you know what's going to slowly happen? One problem will take care of the other. Do I ever believe that we'll have enough saved, that we'll ever be able to turn the tide? That's not for me to think. That's not for me to decide. What it is for me to decide is that my commander has given me an order, and I'll obey it. And I will obey it. Are we doing the labor? Are we focused on the right thing? And we have to remember that all the things that we do, as Brother Dennis said this morning, all the things we do are for the Lord, to please God. Right? Amanda, I please Him. Now, why is that an important distinction to me? Because if I get confused, doing things to make other people happy, if I'm doing things to stop other people from saying something negative to me, well, that's going to be the extent of my motivation. Something will come by, something will be nice and flashy and seem new, and we'll chase off after it. But if I sit there and I consider my salvation, and I consider all that God has done for me, and I consider how true His Word is when compared to all the things I see going on around me, and I see the rightness of it, I see that I've got no other option but to do that. Who else would I serve? Right? I mean, even if you look at from where we are, from what's acceptable by society, right? The very people that are trying to legalize things or illegalize things that we don't like today voted for the things that they're pushing for back when they first got into office. Why? Because society changes, right? Joe Biden goes on and on about abortion, but guess what? He voted to legalize it in certain areas. He did. He found himself on the wrong side of that debate. Hillary Clinton found herself on the wrong side of the debate. And if you asked today, well, wow, who would stand the most for that stuff? You would say those two people. They change. The philosophies of the world, the priorities of the world, they shift and they change. God does not change. And you know what? You'll never please everybody. You ever see that on a coffee cup? I have. Right? I can only please one person today. Today's not your day. Tomorrow's not looking good either, right? That's cute, isn't it? You can't please everybody, right? You'll make your auntie happy, but you'll anger your uncle. You're not going to be able to get it right with everybody. But there is one person I can get right with. There is one person I can abide by, and he won't change. And I know exactly what will do it. Right? I sat there. I think it was Xander I did this to. Poor kid. I looked over him. I go, why are you doing that? Sorry, buddy. God doesn't do that with us. Wonder why? Because God doesn't abide by his feelings. He doesn't do any of that. He knows what he's asked. And as that passage of scripture says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. God, we can't know all the things about God. There are some things we won't know till we get to heaven, but the things we need to know about God today, we can know. The things that God expects of us today, we can know. The commands that God has given us are clear, they're there, and they're easy to follow. His commands, as we read, are not grievous. 2 Timothy verse 6. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Right? If God's willing to do all this for me, right? Give me new life. Feed me, take care of my needs, both physical and spiritual, grow me intellectually, grow me spiritually, put all this effort into me. Well, who deserves the first fruits? He does. Because what was I without him? Not much. Not much of value. Oh, sure, people who love me that he's got this going for him or that going for him. And I, no doubt we could all say the same for any of us before we were saved. Yeah, they're brilliant at this. And they're great at that. Very punctual, very professional, ever. But in the spiritual side of things, we've got nothing to offer. If God's willing to give all this to us, his son, our salvation, eternity in heaven, the benefits, those daily blessings that God doles out to us, to him when it's early. Let me learn from him when it's early. If I've got this much strength, he's going to get the best of it. If I've got something to do for him today, that's happening. Right? You used to get that every now and then. Well, you know, when people were younger, right? And they're younger. We were up to 3 a.m. last night playing games right before church. Nowadays, if some of you are up at 3 a.m., it's because you're body. But when I was... We were up till 3 a.m. laughing and joking and having a good old time, and they're sitting at church going, why would you do that? God gets first. God gets the first bit of it, right? Give him your strength. Give him your time. Right? Well, hey, listen, we've got this going on, this going on, this going on at church, and we've got this plan, so how does this fit into my calendar? The things of God goes in first. Now, he doesn't ask for a lot, does he? Well, it seems like y'all are at the church a lot. Yeah, well, I kind of like y'all, so. No, he doesn't ask for a lot. He don't. We give it to him. Well, hey, you know, the church, we're getting together, we're doing this. Oh, wow. Well, I have a bocce ball tournament. Put the bocce ball tournament aside. All right, I'll give you a ribbon if you need a ribbon. Here, third place. That's what I assume I'd get in a bocce ball contest. No, now, follow me here. You give to the Lord first, right? The first fruits. We talk about that in tithing too, right? If I'm planning on money, I got to plan on money a certain way, right? Y'all got our different formulas that we follow and how we keep track of things. God gets his first, right? Now, how do we do that if they're taking taxes out of it? Well, I know what the boss has given me, and I've already planned on it before the state gets it. All right, how about that? Right? It's easy. We give them first. First of my strength, the first of my ability, the first of my mind, the first of my day, he gets the best of it. Right? Not just the very beginning of it, but he gets the best of it. That's what I mean by first fruits. He gets the best. Why? Because He gave me the best. He gives me the best. He preserved the scripture for me to understand. He gives me the best of church to fellowship in. He gives me the best of friends to encourage me. He gives me His Son. He gives me the best of heaven. And I deserve none of it. He deserves everything, but He only asks for the first. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we are children of You, as we